and then we decide, oh,
we actually shouldn't move on.
But if he would have ever done that prior to now,
right,
we wouldn't be talking about trading him.
Right, exactly.
He hasn't done that. Mm-mm. So yeah. Is it possible? Sure. But he has not done it. All right, time for our Truck Smart Drive of the Week. Nate, are you ready to go? Truck Smart Drive of the Week brought to you by Truck Smart, your premium retailer and installer of truck and SUV accessories for over 30 years. Your truck's gonna love them. Chris, take it away.
Yeah, as we are in the advanced stages of the playoffs, we have less and less plays to pick from. So we're only picking from two different options from this week, but they are two really, really good drives brought to you by Truck Smart. The first one we're going to go to is the game that happened first, and that's from the Houston Texans and Baltimore Ravens. It was a close game, I would say. You know, the Texans definitely had their chances to make it a game, but then what happened was in that fourth quarter, Lamar Jackson led his team on an 11-play, 78-yard, 7-minute drive to pretty much seal it. I mean, they were up two scores, but this one put them up three scores and pretty much locked them in for the conference championship. And here's how that touchdown sounded to Isaiah Likely.
That's now second and one. Jackson, end zone, Likely for the touchdown.
Ah, that was quite a catch. Mm-hmm. Just an insane catch from Isaiah Likely. And I mean, what a performance from Lamar, especially.
Yeah.
But man, I mean, that pitch and catch was just incredible, and that's what they had to do without Mark Andrews in the lineup in order for them to kind of make it up. Isaiah Likely was going to have to be big, and that man is a huge, huge presence.
Yes, and I think the other thing with Lamar is that his ability to scramble and throw on the run, I think, is not the scrambling part. Obviously, that's not underrated. But it's the fact that a lot of times, everyone, you think about guys who keep their eyes downfield even when they're scrambling. That's also what Lamar does. And then it allows the skill position players to move around. And you get somebody like him as Zay Flowers or Isaiah Likely, and you're getting Mark Andrews back. And the defense just isn't able to keep those guys locked up for that long of a period of time. And even if it's Odell Beckham Jr. So I think Lamar throwing on the run is so underrated because you're so worried about him tucking it and just continuing to run. And there are a lot of plays that he just gets to loft to people and loft to players because, hey, we're more worried about Lamar running than throwing. And when one thing gets to be overvalued, something else gets undervalued.
It's going to be interesting if the Ravens do match up with the Niners in the big game. It's going to be super, super interesting to see how the Niners deal with a running quarterback.
Second time around. From
what I understand, that's true, second time around as well. But from what I understand, Niners have a history of struggling with mobile quarterbacks.
Yes.
So that would definitely present quite the challenge for that defense, which looked like it was vulnerable,
yes,
to say the
definitely,
least.
Yes, definitely vulnerable. And let's not forget just running the football traditionally with Gus Edwards and who they have in the backfield.
Right.
But they got to get through the two-headed monster from the Lions first because Gibbs and Montgomery, that is lightning and thunder. And and as we said, you know, you tried to make Pollard that guy in Dallas, and you just need another dude.
Well, who's the better Gus, Edwards or Johnson?
Johnson.
It's always Johnson.
Yeah.
100%.
There he is.
All right, time for the second clip.
All right, the second one is going to be from that Niners-Packers game. This, as well as we all know, was an absolutely electrifying game. This one actually did pretty much come down to this drive that Brock Purdy, well, we're going to say Brock Purdy, led the 49ers on. Many are comparing it to that of Joe Montana. 12 plays, 69 yards, as his team was down 21-17 in a gotta-have-it situation to pretty much save the season, what has been one of the best seasons in Niners history. Brock Purdy leads them down, and of course, the guy who got them there in the first place, Christian McCaffrey, capitalizes on the drive.
Third down. Well, he put the ball right on the five. It's third down and a foot. Will they run the Purdy plunge? How are they going to carry this here? 1:30 and rolling to play in the game. Kyle has all three timeouts remaining. A touchdown gives the 49ers the lead. They're down 21-17. Green Bay's going to their goal line, short yardage defense. Here we go. Purdy under center. Juszczyk offset left. Coming in motion, Warner. Next to Kittle, tight right. Juszczyk goes right. Purdy takes it, hands off to McCaffrey off the left side. Breaks a tackle! Touchdown! San Francisco!
Christian McCaffrey off to the right side, north and south, gets a big block from Brendel and then just shakes off the leg tackle.
I know we say this every week, but I always forget Tim Ryan is in the building and he just explodes into the call every single time. Of course, Christian McCaffrey, I think that was, what, his 23rd or 24th touchdown on the season. Just absolutely ridiculous and very fitting that he seals the Niners' fate and moves on to the NFC Championship game. Those have been your nominees for TruckSmart Drive of the Week. It's tough to not go with the Niners.
Yeah, you got to go.
I mean, it's quite literally
the, game that almost gave me a heart attack. Dude. Yeah. I had to keep in all this emotion. It was so rough. It was
so tough. You know, the Niners now, and we all, I think we're all in agreement, it's the Niners.
It's the Niners.
So there you go. There's TruckSmart Drive of the Week, brought to you by TruckSmart, your premium retailer and installer of truck and SUV accessories for over 30 years. Your truck's gonna love them. And, you know, we were even on the fence of, it wasn't the touchdown, but even doing the Brock Purdy run.
Right, the
scramble
before
there was an opportunity for Jordan Love to do something similar, and he didn't do it. So we joke about Brock Purdy in that burst, but it showed up when the Niners needed it the most. And, you know, it is funny to me, and we're going to get into why people hate the Niners in a little bit here after this break. But it is funny how Niner fans are in an interesting position because – you feel good about the fact that you won. You're talking trash to Packer fans because you won, even though we know what the line was. We know they're the fourth youngest team in the history of the NFL playoffs. We know they were the seventh seed. But at the same time, you feel good about your chances against the Lions, even though in theory the Lions should be much better than the Packers. So Niner fans, how they're kind of trying to fan right now is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Because, and I think it's probably done now. I don't think anyone's still going back and forth with the Packers. But I saw a lot of it this weekend when it first broke down. Yeah. And, well, no, you guys said you were going to beat the brakes off us and you barely beat us. That's Packer fans talking now. And, you know, the bottom line is that the Niners survive in advance. That's it.
Nate, I don't know. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Do we have the call of the Dre Greenlaw pick? Because I am now realizing I have not heard Papa's call on that. And I'm sure he's just the entire time saying, get down! Get down! Why is
he refusing to get down?
Maybe Tim Ryan comes in. Oh, brother, he's running like a Mack truck out there.
Brother.
I don't know why he turned into Hulk Hogan or something there.
Well, here we go.
10 Green Bay. They have two timeouts left. Love out of the shotgun. Deep drop. Crusher gets chased out to his right. Will throw on the run back. Middle. It is intercepted. Go down, Dre Greenlaw.
There's one.
Running back the other way. Secure the ball. He'll run back the other way. They're trying to strip it from him. Big play, Dre. Goes down.
Okay.
Green Bay has two timeouts left. But the 49ers have the football.
34 seconds to go in this game. Two interceptions for big play, Dre Greenlaw.
I will say Tim Ryan has gotten so much better at being a color commentary or being color commentary over the years. Like, he's really found where to hop in. Yeah.
It's
their chemistry is a lot better.
Yeah.
That takes a long time, I think.
For sure.
I definitely respected Doug for sure. When he first started, you could tell it was obviously it's going to be choppy, but when I'm talking about Doug Christie with the Kings, obviously.
Right.
And then he got into a flow and he was the man. So
yeah.
And then he had to go coach. So whatever.
Had to.
There you go. Well, shout out to Brock and Christian McCaffrey getting it done. See if they can get it done this weekend against the Lions. We do have some news here. Again, not breaking, but I do think it's just kind of a funny wrinkle in everything. This is from the All Pacers. This is SI Sports. RIP Sports Illustrated, SI.com. During a weekly radio interview this morning with the Wake Up Call with KB and Andy on 107.5 The Fan in Indianapolis, Pacers head coach Rick Carlisle announced that star guard Tyrese Halliburton will miss the Pacers' next three games due to injury management with his hamstring. What? We're going to sit him for the next three games, Carlisle said.
What?
We'll see where he's at on Saturday.
Wow.
Halliburton suffered a grade one left hamstring strain on January 8th against the Boston Celtics. He was expected to be reevaluated after the Pacers' six-game road trip, which just ended on Sunday night in Phoenix.
Couldn't wait to play with Pascal, huh?
But Halliburton believed that he was ahead of schedule in his rehab since he traveled with Indiana on their road trip. He was able to return earlier than expected and suited up versus the Blazers last Friday while Halliburton played well, blah, 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 blah. So
it's a lot of cushion. I'm looking. The Kings don't play them until February 2nd. The Pacers have six games in between now and then. The Kings is the seventh.
So young guy rushing to get back. Clearly he's not right. And it has been kind of affecting him. And you just need to sit down, brother.
Interesting note, too. I did say the Kings are the seventh. They don't play the Kings for seven more games. It is the second night of a back-to-back with travel. So Indy's going to be Thursday. Mm-hmm. They're going to be playing the New York Knicks in New York. Friday they have to play the Kings in Indy and then have to go out to Charlotte. On Sunday. So there's a pretty good chance Tyrese actually doesn't even play that Kings game either.
I need it, though. I'd trust the Kings more if Halliburton plays.
Honestly, it'd be pretty tough to have two Kings-Pacers matchups and not get Tyrese in either of them.
Yeah.
That would really, really suck.
Yeah, that would be rough.
I would almost position him to not play the Knicks game. It's on the road. You know, it is in the Garden, which is a really big attractor for especially a guy like Tyrese, who we all know Tyrese loves to be in that limelight,
right.
So it's going to be a tough ask to tell Tyrese to sit down in the Garden, but it wouldn't surprise me because they also are playing Boston as well. So it's Tuesday, January 30th at Boston, Thursday, February 1st at the New York Knicks, and then Friday, that Kings game. I don't know. It's not crazy to think that Tyrese might not play for injury purposes. I guess it'll probably depend on how he's feeling at that point after coming back.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, Brock Purdy was always going to be the starter this season unless another Bay boy came to town, came back home, should I say. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Well, we all had a feeling that Brock Purdy was going to be the starter. And an article that came out very recently, yesterday, based on something that was brought up by Nick Wagner of ESPN, who covers the Niners. This was last week, which kind of flew under the radar. Now you have Mike Florio bringing it back onto the radar. And basically Brock Purdy says himself that Shanahan approached Brock Purdy and said, hey, you're going to be the starter. But if we are able to get Tom Brady to come back, right, you're obviously not going to be the starter.
Yeah.
So this is the quote here. Early in the offseason, Niners coach Kyle Shanahan sat down with Purdy and assured him that if he was healthy, he would be the starter unless Brady wanted to play one more season for his hometown Niners. That meant so much to me, Purdy said. I remember him saying, if we can get Tom Brady, we're going to try to get him. And I was like, yeah, he's the GOAT. I get it. But something deep down inside me was sort of like, dude, I just showed you that I can play well in this system, and we were one game away from the Super Bowl. More than anything, I was like, okay, now let's go.
Are you reading this as a, I mean,
crazy timing of this dropping.
It's insane.
By the way.
I don't know. Like, I don't know how to read that, mainly the last part of what Brock said there. Mm-hmm. Like, Brock's smart enough to get it. He's not offended by it. Of course, Brock's got a chip on his shoulder, but I think everyone would understand. It's Tom Brady, dude. Like, mm-hmm. maybe everybody has to put their pride aside.
Sure.
But, like, is that maybe something that, you know, say Brock gets it done this year. Let's say Brock gets a Super Bowl. And let's say, what, he's got two more years after this?
They can't offer him until after the 2024 season ends.
They can't even talk about it.
They
can't have talks.
So let's say that by the time they have the conversation, Brock has two rings. And so he's got some actual leverage. Does this maybe come back to bite them at some point? Where it's like, hey, maybe this is a complete nothing and Brock seriously was more than willing to put his pride aside. But the deep down inside of me, I was sort of like, dude, I just showed you that I can play well in this system. We were one game away from the Super Bowl. Like, that kind of tells me that there's some tough feelings about it.
What do you mean?
I just think, like, maybe that's a bit of disrespect. Like, I understand Brock was in his first season. I think Brock understands the nuance of the situation. But, like, at the same time, like, you're not that, like, I don't know. It's a little bit of a slight. It's a little bit of a slap in the face. And then, you know, I think it was clear with bringing in Trey Lance and Sam Darnold that they didn't have 100% confidence and Brock going into this year.
Well,
he was coming off injury. Just a little tiny slap in the face.
The injury is huge.
No, yeah. For sure.
We did not think he'd even play week one. The expectation was like week four.
I remember pretty early in the process Shanahan saying Brock's going to play week one.
Yeah, there was something. You're not wrong, Nate, but it was sometime in the summer where I remember
once they said week one, about there was no it,
and it was like
that stance.
It was like, oh, it was supposed to be he cut off 2 months of his recovery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So I guess it depends when this conversation was had.
It does say early in the offseason.
Shanahan does.
So this was before
mislead a lot.
Yeah. So this was before that report where it came out where there was a question about Brock being ready. Then I think later in the summer it was actually he's going to be more than ready.
I'm actually, now that I'm even further looking into this quote, it literally even says, forget health. It says, Kyle Shanahan sat down with Purdy and assured him if he was healthy, he would be the starter unless Brady. Right. So it's not, it is even saying, I don't care if you're healthy or not.
Right. No. Yes. Yes. And he said, I don't care about Trey Lance.
Yes.
Okay. And Sam Darnold was just a backup plan in case you couldn't go.
I just love to watch him throw the football.
He just throws the football. So if they don't win it, I don't think it makes a difference because Tom Brady didn't play for another team.
Sure. No, yeah. It's just, I just wonder if maybe, I don't know, just maybe he would hold some resentment and say, yeah, that was pretty unchill. I mean, it's just, I'm just asking questions.
Not after eight games.
Just asking questions.
Not after eight games. If they did that let's say they lose in a barn burner to the Lions.
Yeah.
And then they said, hey, Tom's coming back.
Yeah, it's like a KD situation.
Then I could see Brock, but I don't know, Brock. I get it, you're a competitor, but
yeah.
It was eight games, brother, and it's Tom.
No, even he says I get it. Like, but
yeah, and kudos to Brock I'm not gonna slam Brock for being open. Kudos
absolutely.
To him for being open. I wouldn't have known about this if
absolutely
he wasn't open enough to kind of say it out loud. So
is this year's version of last year's story about if the Niners actually made the Super Bowl, they would have signed, who was it, Philip Rivers?
Yes.
This is definitely this year's version of it.
That's like, right. Imagine. If they had slid by and won the Super Bowl or got to the Super Bowl, Philip Rivers.
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
They could have been quarterbacks.
Yeah.
The Niners already have a lot of people who have actually taken snaps, but now there's a whole theoretical quarterback list
for
the Niners. Got Peyton Manning way back.
Does it matter? It doesn't because he's gone now, right? And I saw reports on some of the reason Mike McCarthy stayed was because of the development of Trey Lance. Let's not forget, I mean, Trey Lance is 23, 24, whatever it is. But does it matter that they probably lied to Trey Lance.
The Niners, that is?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way he said this to Brock and then said, hey, Trey, from Jump Street. Because the whole competing for number two thing.
Great point.
And Nate, correct me if I'm wrong. The whole competing for number two thing, that didn't start until training camp. We didn't really know that Trey Lance. Now, I thought that Brock was going to be the guy, right? Unless injury or something like that. Right. But do we really think that they went to Trey and said from Jump Street, hey, you saw what Brock just did. You're competing for backup. They probably told him he had a chance when in reality he never had a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Let's say Brock didn't play the first four games. Trey Lance wins all four and he's playing lights out. Then he has a chance.
Right, but that's the question. If they said to Trey, hey, barring injury, Brock's our guy. Did they ever tell Trey that this could be a competition even if Brock was
healthy? I mean,
it's
pure speculation. Yeah.
How does Trey feel this morning reading this? Obviously, it's clear that you guys didn't really mess with me. That's why you sent me to Dallas.
It didn't work.
Yeah.
It's a bad breakup. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. Who cares? You're in Dallas now. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Sorry, but what could the Niners have done to make Trey Lance happy?
But let's just
play, give him the job, even though he's not good.
Hasn't
proven himself.
Okay, let's say they sign Tom. Then what do they do? It's Brock backup and Trey Lance three.
Trey Lance is gone.
They probably would trade.
Trey Lance is gone.
Yeah. Either way.
I think so.
You get another veteran, Sam Darnold or Brian Hoyer or something.
Brandon Allen.
Brandon Allen, emergency guy.
Those guys. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. We'll see.
And this was the entire offseason. It's so frustrating doing the entire offseason as quarterback talk. This was the offseason before, too, with Jimmy not showing up. It's all speculation for stuff that didn't matter at all. Thank God it didn't matter.
Well, Nate, I mean, that's sports radio. On your Niner-specific podcast, you can talk about the holes in the offensive line, but people don't want to hear about that.
No, I know. I'm just saying all you hear was Darnold Lance every single day.
Yeah, and now you're going to hear Purdy, 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 Purdy.
And I guess that's better. I don't know.
You know, it's better, hopefully. And I'll tell you what, if you don't want a bad offseason or another annoying offseason, you better hope the Niners win.
Bro, even if they win, the offseason, you guys were saying it earlier, like this stuff with Brock.
But it's a completely different conversation if he wins.
It'll be if he loses,
outside of the Northern California or Niners fan base, they can argue that. But you won't have to argue it on your airwaves, right? You can discuss it and say they're always going to think this, they're always going to think that. But if they don't win, now you have to because you didn't win.
Back your man, right?
Yeah, I just.
We'll be in Vegas. It'll be fine.
It's such an emotional roller coaster.
I know. I can tell. You get real heated.
It drains me so much.
You get real heated. I hear you. Yeah. All right, get into a break.
When we get back,
speaking of the Niners, why do people all of a sudden hate them? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
It's just a theme here. I think you can guess where this, and I'm telling you right now, I'm looking at these numbers. These are all different. 530 numbers. Jeez. Shout out to the 530.
Chico.
As
is
always.
Is that what it is? I was trying to figure that out.
Here you go, Chris. You can handle this one.
Like Butte County, Frankie.
Okay. No, Chris, you can handle this one.
Okay.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hi.
Any reason why you don't bring up, talking about the Kings, any reason why you don't bring up the fact that the 5-7 seed are separated by half a game?
It hasn't really came up in conversation.
What is there to talk about, though?
But you guys have brought that up, like, every day. You guys have mentioned how you can just fall in and fall out so easily.
Here's the thing, 5-3-0.
I think maybe he's talking about last year, how the 5-7 seeds were separated by, like, a game, a half. Like, it was the middle crop of the Western Conference. I guess maybe he's saying in the sense
I think
of,
he's saying that they're not – they can easily get out of it is how I took it.
I am taking it – seeing this is why we need more context here, Texter. Yeah. What are you trying to say here? Because I'm taking that as why aren't you mentioning that to say maybe the Kings, yes, they were a three seed, but they very easily – could have fallen into that mix? Is that where you're getting at there?
This happens so much. We need an AI program that like translates these texts for you guys. Yeah.
Well, I'll answer it the way I'm understanding it.
Please.
You can answer it the way you're understanding it. How I'm understanding it is, hey, the Kings could be right back in the five seed after a couple wins here, right? And if that's how you mean it, that's true. But they were the five seed. They're going the wrong direction.
Yes.
Okay? And this thing at this point is just going to be a bit random the way it's happening. Somebody's got to go on a run here. So, yeah, cool. They could be the five seed tomorrow. Right. That's fine. But it's tough living that way. It's tough sledding that way.
I am now reading the text for another time, and you are correct. It is. He is talking about right here, right now.
And we're talking about the five seed.
Nate is definitely right. We do bring it up quite literally every time we talk about it.
Yeah, and we're talking about between the five and the seven seed. Is anybody in the five through the seven seed even gonna make any noise?
Yeah,
what are we talking about?
The five seed is also, to your point, that's not the goal. Shouldn't be happy with a 5-7 seed. I guess, again, your point is maybe, hey, we're acting like it's all doom and gloom, but the Kings are actually really close to turning this thing around. Yeah, no, for sure. That's also... That's important context for sure because, things feel like they've never been worse, and you could argue you're really close to turning it around and actually having success and feeling good about it. But at the same time, I think you just said it, they are the seven seed, and they're fluctuating between 7 and 8 right now. And, you know, I think you also said it, like they're on the downturn. Like things are not trending in a positive direction. So that's why we're not mentioning how close they are to moving up, because right now the fear is let's not move down any further.
Here's a clear split right here. It's the Clippers with 14 losses and the Suns, who are the fifth seed, with 18.
Yeah.
So that's 8 games right there, right? So, so basically that's the split. Between the T-Wolves, the Thunder, the Nuggets, and the Clippers in the top four, are any of them going to trick off enough games to let somebody into the four seed? Essentially, what we're saying is that we can forget about the top three seeds, right? Is it far enough, and we can talk about this more tomorrow, is it far enough in the season to say the best the Kings can do is a four seed? Or what's the best the Kings can do at this point?
Yeah, I would say that. Probably
they're not getting a top three seed at this point.
It'd be really tough. It would be a massive turnaround. Yeah, absolutely.
So at best, the Clippers still...
Clippers are hot as everything.
Right. The Clippers with 14 losses, the Kings with 18. So maybe you catch the Clippers so you get to face whoever the five seed is, which would be either the Clippers, the Suns, our friends from NOLA, the Pelicans.
Mm. Yeah, no thanks. Absolutely no thanks. I'm looking here too, by the way. The Woj did release 28 names that are in the pool for the Olympics here in 2024.
Oh, the rest of the names?
Yes, and De'Aaron Fox is one of them.
Wow.
Bear with me as I'm going to read through the list of... these are 28 players who are possibly going to represent Team USA. Bam Adebayo, this is in alphabetical order. Bam Adebayo, Jared Allen, Paolo Banchero, Desmond Bane, Scotty Barnes, Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, Jaylen Brown, Jalen Brunson, Jimmy Butler, Alex Caruso, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, Anthony Edwards, Joel Embiid, De'Aaron Fox.
Let's go.
Paul George, Aaron Gordon, Tyrese Halliburton, James Harden, Josh Hart, Tyler Hero, Drew Holiday, Chet Holmgren, Brandon Ingram, Kyrie Irving, Jaren Jackson Jr., LeBron James, Cam Johnson, Walker Kessler, not Kessler Edwards, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Chris Paul, Bobby Portis, Austin Reeves, Duncan Robinson, Jason Tatum, Derek White, and Trey Young.
So then they all try out and people get cut?
Yes,
just like back in the day?
Pretty much.
I'm telling you this right now. Please don't let Halliburton and De'Aaron Fox cook in the backcourt.
So let's see here.
USA.
In terms of the competition De'Aaron's going to have to be fighting with, possibly Devin Booker, Jalen Brunson for sure, Steph Curry for sure. If Steph wants to play, he's in.
Halliburton,
he played in the FIBAs, so they usually like to give guys who played for the team in the past the head nod there. So Halliburton, I would assume, has a leg up over De'Aaron. So De'Aaron's
four. Is that four right now, not counting De'Aaron?
Yeah, and Brunson also is somebody who
so
was on that Team USA as well. James Harden, you can maybe
argue. What
about
Anthony Edwards?
Kyrie Irving. Anthony Edwards. I wouldn't say that's the same position, but I mean, these are all guards. Damian Lillard's in there. Donovan Mitchell's in there.
We're at eight.
You got Trae Young in there.
We're actually at 10 now.
You got Drew Holiday in there.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, he's really going to have to compete for it if he wants to do it. And the question is, does De'Aaron want to do it? It doesn't really seem like something De'Aaron would really care about.
So they reached out. Have all these guys said they're interested, or will some guys say no thank you?
Let's see here. The finalists, featuring 28 players who have represented U.S. in Olympic and or men's, collected 23 gold medals. The 2024 men's national team finalists are. So nothing set in stone yet. I would assume
but somebody
that
could still say
no,
right, but they could say no.
So
we don't know how many guards players, period, are going to say let's do this.
Yeah, for sure. And there's also like, you know, I remember, I think in the last Olympics, or maybe it was in the, I think it was actually in the FIBAs, the Bucks won the championship, and then Drew Holiday had to make the decision of, do I want, like, an actual vacation, or do I want to take a week and a half off and then have to go play with Team USA? So it kind of becomes, you know, like how the Pro Bowl is with the NFL, where it's like, I'd rather just kind of, you know, to care about my actual team instead of doing the Olympic things.
So. Well, good luck, De'Aaron.
Good luck. You're going to need it.
There you go.
You're going to want it. You're going to have to want it. If he's going to try and be a part of this team and actually try and fight for a spot, he's going to have to campaign for it, frankly, is how it goes.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's really, really tough.
Well, we already know De'Aaron is not viewed. He doesn't have the clout that some of these other players do.
I mean, I would actually be shocked if De'Aaron Fox makes the roster and Tyrese doesn't. I wouldn't be shocked if Tyrese makes it and De'Aaron doesn't, but I would be shocked if De'Aaron makes it and Tyrese doesn't.
There's just no way.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's the face, he's the fun, you're going to get pretty big league-wide attention.
His dad would probably go too.
And then you're going to get Steph too as well on top of that. So who knows, maybe this is where that De'Aaron-Steph, you know, partnership comes into
hands. I mean, not if it's between the two of them.
And if you got LeBron on there, that's two calls you can make. You say, Steph, hey man, you want to see your sneakers on an Olympic basketball floor? Hey man, get me on there. LeBron, clutch client. Hello.
He's going to try to make those calls. All right, before we get to a break, we have this from the 916. Niners hate? ? I'm a Niners fan, and every time I hear bang bang Niner gang, I cringe with embarrassment. So corny, bro.
I also think it's pretty corny, but
song E40? Yeah. You guys mess with E40 out here?
E40 is an honorable honorable Sacramentan, pretty much.
Bang, not your guy.
Despite the incident that happened during that was made up for. There was a lot of people trashing E40, posting pictures of him wearing King stuff too.
Just say something? Because there's a lot of artists that get caught up in this whole situation. Can we just be honest here? These artists, they're chasing a bag.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
50 Cent, E40. He's a giant
50
fan.
Cent doesn't. 50
no,
Cent
I'm
is
saying,
the worst
I'm
one.
I'm saying
but
they're
yeah.
always going to come back home, right? So E40, if the Warriors are popping, I'm riding with the Warriors. If the Kings were winning those championships, I'm out here in sack. The A's, okay, you think that E40, someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but E40 is a huge Giants fan? Really? He's from Vallejo. Okay?
And all of a sudden, he's a
Giants fan. And I'm not hating. Just saying E40 is a Bay Area fan, right? They were
Northern
Sacramento's
California. Not the Bay Area.
Northern California.
Yeah,
Northern
on that
California.
One.
Hey now, buddy.
Well, I mean, you guys are Niner fans, and it's faithful to the Bay.
You guys? Chris is not.
What do you mean, you people?
I'm just saying.
I was born into this.
Yeah, I hear you. And then you have her, who is, I believe, also from Vallejo, the singer, and she... She
does the Warriors pregame intro.
Yeah. Also, we don't have a team here besides the Kings. So,
I'm just saying, her did something for the Heat or something. And someone's like, isn't she a Warrior fan? How could she do it? She's a bag fan.
Yeah, she's a business
fan. She's a bag fan.
That's why you got 50 Cent selling his liquor to all
That's
these
right.
teams. And he's at like 12 partnerships.
Our guy on the Sack Chat, rocking New Era, you can't be a Giants fan from Vallejo. I'm not saying you can't be. Yeah. I'm saying if the A's were winning those World Series, are we sure E40 wouldn't be an A's fan? And I'm not hating. I'm just saying, I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I literally don't know. I will say E40 has been at Kings games even through the bad years. So
I want to be
the Bay Area fan.
I am going to have E40's back this entire time.
He's a NorCal
fan. I'm telling you, when I was at this radio station 10 years ago working for the hip-hop station, E40 legitimately was in Sacramento, I'm not joking, at least once a month. And he would come through this station. He would come in this building right here, and he would walk around, chill.
You get a picture?
Absolutely. I got like 5 pictures with E40.
With your hair?
Nice.
Possibly. I don't know. It was a while ago. It was a
full circle. Did you shake them dreads for him?
I think I might have won. I might have won.
Win it, Rome.
I know we got to get to a break now.
Dude, don't ask him that.
2016 was the last time I saw E40.
E40 Bill
and
Hyundai.
He's got a giant title.
Saw him at the games.
Yeah, 2014.
You saw him at the games, Chris.
That was in the height. They had just won the World Series.
No, for sure. You're not going to catch me slandering E40.
I'm not slandering E40.
Just asking questions. That's
I'm
all
just
you
saying
did.
In general.
You're asking some whack questions.
I'm not asking a question. I'm telling you. In general.
The dreads question was whack.
Okay, yeah. No
doubt. In my mind. That's worse than the beam question.
Locks. The locks. All right, look.
Did you shake your dreads for E40?
Did you? To play the song. All right, got to get to a break.
Go, please.
Oh, my goodness.
Ross Talk when we get back with the Drive Guys, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports and subscribe.
We're talking about, I guess, musical artist fandoms and how much stock you should put into them before the break. And Crown Royal on the Sack Chat is saying E40 has always claimed to be a NorCal fan in general. As long as if he's always been just, hey, I'm just a NorCal guy.
Sure.
That's just what it is. Cool. All I'm saying is that some people would obviously feel some type of way if the Warriors now, with their stock down, they start losing. I know you know the throwback, but if all of a sudden E40 now pops up with a bunch of Kings gear as the Kings has their stock going up. It's not me. I wish everybody could be NorCal fans, but that's not really possible. Only select people can pull it off, as we are joined by a version of the Drive Guys with
Kyle Draper.
Well, I thought
you were going to say a version of E40 because that's Vallejo.
No.
Yeah, with Vallejo's finest.
Yeah, with Vallejo's finest. Gleason. So Kyle Draper off today. We have Mark Kreidler filling in with Whitey Gleason as well. Fellas, how you doing?
Good. It's great to be here. Mark Kreidler has written several books, all of which I have read the reviews of.
You have not read any of them, but your name is in one of them, which is probably the thing that always broke my heart.
There you go.
How did he get mentioned?
He read the acknowledgments because I acknowledged him in one of them. We were working together at the time. What am I supposed to do? He read the acknowledgments.
Ignore him.
But no, he's going to. You'll work your way back around to it.
Fine books. There's one about wrestling, and there's a baseball one or something, mm-hmm. and then the other one.
Yeah, and then the third one.
No, surfing Mavericks. Yeah.
Big wave surf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hawks lose. Kings get it done.
Sure.
Last night, you were in the building as long as it was competitive.
I did. Yeah. It took. And then, you know, it turned on the G-Man. It's like, and the Hawks are making a run.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we knew a run was going to happen at some point, but how bad was it going to be? Bogdanovich, I mean, I want to get him back in Sacramento, man, huh?
That's just a weird night.
What a terrible team, too. I mean, just like in terms of chemistry, like I can't imagine how tough it is to have your entire team on the trade block. Like to have Clint Capella on the trade block, to have Sadiq Bey on the trade block, DeJounte Murray on the trade block. It's like, how do you show up
a report
every
on Trae Young
night?
Now yeah, connected exactly. to the Lakers?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you take Trae Young off the floor anyway, you're going to look bad if you're the Hawks.
Yeah.
Says the guy from Oklahoma.
I'm sorry. He's an especially gifted guy.
What are your takes on Buddy Hield? Jeez, come on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we did our best for him in Norman, Oklahoma. And once he gets out in the, you know, yeah. in the wild, I can't be responsible yeah, no. for that stuff.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
I prayed
hands.
For him not to get drafted by the Kings at the time, as Whitey knows. We yes. talked about it. That's a true fact. He was coming into chaos at that time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that is a gift.
Well, so I absolve him from everything.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Oklahoma actually had two, we call them disciples on this show. Almost Steph, not so much Buddy too, but definitely Trae Young. They had two Steph disciples come out of Oklahoma, and you hope that one of them did something. I know we spent a lot of...
There's nothing else to do there but shoot basket.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Well, you're just trying to pass the time till football season. Something has to happen. But Kelvin Sampson had come in mm-hmm. as the head coach for a stretch there, and that roughly coincided with the idea to start turning players loose. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and it stepped up their program.
Sure yeah.
It didn't last, but it was fun for a while.
It was short. You had Blake Griffin.
Hey. Sure.
Back in the day as
Better
well.
Not forget about Austin Reeves now.
Austin Reeves okay. as well. You know, a lot of the, well, Austin Reeves, he was one of the names chosen for
Team USA.
Team USA. So
what do you think, Alan, of the idea that you just brought up there, the Lakers getting Trae Young? The Lakers are all in on just getting another superstar. That's hilarious to me.
I just don't think – I think there are a bunch of teams that don't know what they need. And I don't know if the Lakers know what they need. So they're just trying to decide. I think – and I saw something about the price tag on DeJounte Murray. As funny as it is, we know the pedigree of Trae Young, I think DeJounte makes more sense on the Lakers.
I think he's a better player all the way around. He's right just now. Not as
more useful.
You know, the caliber of superstar, he doesn't come close to Trae Young.
Right. We also don't know if Trae Young, we were talking last week about, is De'Aaron Fox a 1A franchise guy on a championship team?
Watch what you say or he won't talk to you.
Well, I mean, I guess we'll never know, right? So
be careful.
I know. Yeah. Hey, Whitey said it, not me. If anybody's listening out there. Yeah. But Trae Young, is he? I don't know if he's a 1A. I see him. I saw a report of him going to San Antonio, and I'm thinking him, Wembanyama, and you get another star, and maybe you have something there. But Trae Young, I mean, if there's any conversation, Becky Hammon, about Jalen Brunson in New York, what are we doing here talking about Trae Young?
Trae Young's literally the worst defender in the NBA as well. On
top
of that. So good luck. Good luck trying to build a winner.
You want to get picky about it, yeah.
DeJounte Murray to the Spurs makes a lot of sense to me. I know that's where he was.
Yeah, right. There's some bad feelings there.
Yeah.
Bad blood from what I understand.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
A lot of there that going go. Around.
What'd you think about the news this morning of the Terry Rozier move?
It makes sense for the Heat. And it's like a protected pick, right?
I believe
so.
So
I heard you guys earlier, and I like what you said about maybe that helps to bring the market back into some semblance of order.
I hope so, because not everybody has 12 first-round picks like Utah and Oklahoma City. And so at some point, it's like, if Dorian Finney-Smith is going for two first-round picks, I'm like, I don't know what to do anymore.
Oklahoma City's like, well, you have these three number ones. We didn't even know we had them.
Exactly. I just found them, actually.
Yeah, right. We really didn't know they were back there. Yeah. Incredible.
Kings get ready to go on a 7-game road trip. I mean, the teams that they're playing, middle of the road to better. It's not the hardest road trip in the world, but it's the way the Kings have been playing, they could definitely lose these games. Are you worried? I mean, we said earlier that, and Chris basically agreed that February.
Is that true, Chris?
I don't know. That's coming yet.
No memory of the conversation.
That February could basically shape this season for the Kings.
Well, aside from what happens in the games, I mean, just in terms of what they do,
both, the deadline and the actual games. I mean, they play the Nuggets three times in February.
Brutal. Nuggets are pretty good, right?
That's what I've heard.
I've heard so.
All right. Yeah. So,
and even if this teams on the road trip are middle of the pack, 7 is 7. That's a long trip.
Yes.
When you didn't have the homestand you wanted,
right?
You know, when you're not getting what you want out of your team.
Mm-hmm.
I think you take last night's win and pocket it and declare that that's how it is. I know it was Atlanta. We all know they're bad.
Yeah.
It does. Absolutely. I mean, you're trying to take whatever you can put in your pocket because you're going to – you'll be flagging partway through this road trip.
Yeah, I mean, at Warriors, at Mavericks, at Grizzlies, at Heat, at Pacers, at Bulls, at Cavs. So
I heard somebody on the radio say, oh, it's really an eight-game road trip. I don't know what that was about.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Was it on our show?
It was you.
Alan.
Oh. No, somebody. No, it's the math.
Come on.
Because somebody on the Sack Chat said they're going to go 5-3.
Thank you, Nate.
Somebody said they're going to go 5-3, and I'm thinking, what's going on here? All right, we're getting out of here. 4 hours and not a minute longer. I'm done. Mark Kreidler, Whitey Gleason, taking you up to however long they're taking
six
you. Drive guys up next. Styles and Watkins. Until tomorrow, secure the bag, light the beam.